Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. I'm Maya Williams. Activists gathered today at LAPD headquarters to demand an independent investigation into the officer-involved shooting that left a man dead on Skid Row last week. Mark Salinger has the story.
We can't trust this building. We can't trust this city to police itself.
More than a week has passed since Los Angeles police officers shot and killed a man known as Africa on Skid Row. Today, activists gathered to show their disapproval for how the investigation is going.
When the mayor comes out hours after Africa is killed and attempts to justify the actions of the officers, we know the investigation is going sideways.
Activists today had to walk around a fence to get inside the LAPD Board of Commissioners meeting. Now that the dust has settled after the shooting, the tone seems to be far more calm.
We are respectfully asking Chief Beck and the commission to release the audio and video transmissions of what happened last Sunday.
An independent investigation into the shooting is being led by Inspector General Alexander Bustamante.
We've also obtained all the video, including the on-body camera video, and we've been examining that video.
The Inspector General's office has interviewed at least 18 witnesses to the shooting and canvassed the area for more information. Mark Salinger for Annenberg Radio News.
A new proposal discussed at LAUSD's board meeting today intends to attack the district's $160 million budget deficit head-on. Caitlin Plummer reports on the district's controversial decision.
LAUSD is considering a proposal to lay off 609 of its employees by the beginning of the 2015-2016 academic year. This does not include additional support staff. District officials say the layoffs are necessary to start reducing the debt. This idea comes after departments throughout the district have downsized by up to 40%. Governor Jerry Brown is also expected to increase public school spending in his revised budget. However, LAUSD spokeswoman Lydia Ramos says the layoffs are intended to address a structural deficit within the district, which cannot be solved with one-time funds. Dr. Maria Ott is a school district politics and budget expert at the University of Southern California.
When you have a structural issue within your budget, you're basically looking at the fact that you're spending more than you're taking in.
If the layoff notices are approved, LAUSD must notify its employees by next week. Caitlin Plummer, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power is missing more than $600 million because of a flawed customer information system. Ben Ebert has the story.
A state audit showed that the LADWP billing system, launched in 2013, sent unusually high bills to some customers while others received none at all. Customers also reported random shutoff notices, late bills, and high customer service wait times. The city has filed a lawsuit against PricewaterhouseCoopers, a firm hired to help launch the new system. However, the company says this is only a tactic by the DWP to divert the blame of the botched $181 million system. Regardless of who's to blame, the DWP's deficit must be paid, which could lead to rate increases for customers. Ben Ebert, Annenberg Radio News.
The student government at UC Irvine proposed to ban flags from any country in their student government offices, but Orange County legislators want to stop the ban of the U.S. flag in state-funded universities and colleges. The planned UC Irvine debate today was canceled by school officials due to an unidentified violent threat. USC's Department of Public Safety has been receiving multiple reports of sexual harassment on and around campus. Sarah Mitchell has the story.
DPS condemned the sexual assault in an email sent out to students late last night. Sophomore Sarah Hansen was one in a series of victims that reported their assault case to DPS.
I was walking right in front of Troy Hall, and three young men came up to me, and one grabbed each shoulder, and a third one just spanked me really hard.
Hansen says she wasn't able to describe the assailants well, but she hopes the investigation will prevent future crimes like this from happening.
I think just a spank goes beyond and is considered sexual battery.
In their email, DPS warned students that sexual assault is any contact committed without consent, and that silence is not consent. Sarah Mitchell, Annenberg Radio News.
Former creative director of the 2008 McCain-Palin campaign, Fred Davis, sat down for a discussion with USC students today. Simon Makowicki has the story.
When Fred Davis, the man behind hundreds of GOP political campaign ads, came to visit USC, he had a lot to say. Much of his talk focused on how political ads can change the course of a campaign. He also discussed the current divide within the Republican Party. When asked about how the recent letter sent to Iran by GOP senators would affect this lack of unity, Davis said it might actually help.
What's the best way to get along with somebody? Have a common enemy. And if the common enemy can be the White House, and in this case that's who that common enemy was, then that will help pull the party together, I think.
Davis followed up by saying he hopes that a unified GOP would lead to greater cooperation across the aisle. Simon Makowicki, Annenberg Radio News.
USC's Sol Price School of Public Policy hosts multiple urban growth seminars throughout the semester to discuss complex urban issues. Today, the general manager of the Los Angeles Department of Transportation, Salita Reynolds, talked about LADOT's strategic plan to improve transportation. Reynolds implemented a plan called Great Streets for Los Angeles that strives to reduce traffic fatalities and increase transportation choices for Angelenos. According to Reynolds, 40 to 45% of people trying to get around town are pedestrians.
People walking and biking about three times as likely to be involved in a severe fatal crash, and the costs associated with those are three times as much as a driver.
Reynolds wants the next generation to think about the transportation decisions we're making and give people real choices to get around. R&B and pop star Robin Thicke celebrates his 38th birthday today, but he may not be singing a happy tune. A Los Angeles jury decided against Thicke and producer Pharrell Williams in a high-profile copyright suit today. Their popular hit, Blurred Lines, has been the subject of contention in the court case. Everybody get up. The family of deceased R&B legend Marvin Gaye claimed that the duo ripped off Gaye's iconic song, Gotta Give It Up. Today's verdict ordered Williams and Thicke to pay $7.4 million in damages to the family. Blurred Lines has reportedly made over $16 million since it was released in 2013. If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Andrew Tweedy with today's root source.
Wanderlust, an irresistible desire to travel. This common definition of the phrase is frequently used, but isn't entirely accurate. To find the real meaning of the word, let's break down some history first. It's been traced to the German language as far back as the year 1050, but was first used in English in 1902. It originates from the two German words, wandern and lust. Lust translates directly to, well, lust, but wandern is where the confusion really starts. The most logical meaning would be to wander, but it actually means to hike. So put the two words together, and what do you get? The enjoyment of hiking, but the Germans commonly use it to describe someone seeking unity with nature. So the next time you're roaming around concrete jungles like London or Berlin, remember that without trees, dirt, and hiking boots, your desire to travel is actually very far from wanderlust.
Detours explores our obsession with the antiquated. What some people consider junk, others see as gold. Holly Thompson reports.
As someone in their mid-20s, I belong to a generation that reminisces about Blockbuster, Tower Records, and Raven's Revenge.
Well, the perfect video store.
Welcome to Blockbuster Video.
Is popping up all over the country.
Things become outdated, but we are obsessed with these outdated things. We love things from merely 10 years ago. Things that seemingly had no relevance and no one considered valuable until now. Dimitri Samakis is the co-founder of the website Everything is Terrible, a site dedicated to collecting bizarre and obscure content from the 80s and 90s. He is best known for his collection of over 8,000 Jerry Maguire VHS tapes.
We noticed when we go to thrift stores and find movies to collect, we realized, oh my God, from like a mile away, you can see a Jerry Maguire tape. It's just big, bright fire truck of a tape popping out of a sea of just sort of, you know, brown and gray. It started as a joke. We called it Maguire Watch, where we'd take pictures of them. We'd put them all together kind of out in the wild.
Okay. 8,000 Jerry tapes is definitely impressive. My biggest question for Dimitri, why?
And we thought, what if we try to amass the biggest collection of Jerry Maguire's? Let's just have the world's biggest collection. Let's do it. Because it was something we grew up on, we were surrounded by, and it's not valuable. Like, there's no value to tapes. There shouldn't be. People have tried in the last few years. I go on eBay and I see tapes going for $200-$300. That's so stupid. It's garbage.
I need to feel you, Jerry. Show me the money. Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Fans are still sending them tapes, but Dimitri has a plan.
We've been taking the idea very seriously, going to the desert, buying a very small plot of land, building a church out of Jerry Maguire's, and letting fans go to this site to drop them off themselves, because we just can't store them. They might have made 500,000, they might have made 3 million, we've never looked it up. It's just that here's this thing that went away overnight, VHS tapes, they just pretty much dropped off the face of the earth in the early 2000s, and we haven't forgotten, and I don't think our fans have either. It sounds so obvious, but it's like, we're gonna look back on, oh my God, remember when we watched YouTube on our iPads? Doesn't sound weird right now, but it's going to sound weird someday. And I think that's awesome.
Old formats are not only appreciated, they are brought back to life. Burger Records is one of the fastest growing labels in the U.S. They're most known for their large contribution to a cassette tape renaissance. If you didn't know this was a thing, the co-founders Lee Rickard and Sean Borman will assure you, it is. They started the label 7 years ago as a way to release their own music. Lee and Sean began manufacturing tapes with Mike McKinney from M2 Communications in Pasadena. Together, they've made over 35,000 tapes.
Girl, I've heard a few things about love.
What makes you guys interested in cassette tapes?
We have a cassette tape player in the van.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You're able to take chances on bands you necessarily wouldn't take chances on a $18 LP or a $12 CD.
Yeah.
Like, you have a $5
or
tape.
Or a $30 record. And then there's also, it's not just binary code like on a computer. It's a tangible thing where we can touch and absorb the artwork and read and just have a relationship with it. And
I think all these kids were driving around in their parents' cars and they're like, what is this thing in my car? And all of a sudden we start putting out tapes and they're like, hey, I can listen to music in my car.
Lee and Sean say that they're pretty much doing what they did when they were 16, smoking weed and listening to music. But they don't stay idle. From indie garage to pop rock, their lists of bands are constantly growing.
There's an attention towards the format right now that's cool, because it just popped up and it is absurd, and it doesn't happen that often where forgotten formats are revived in such a big way or whatever.
Yeah, and successfully revived.
Yeah, and I think they'll still be here in 20 years. The records are still here. I mean,
outdated things don't stay outdated for long. Trends, formats, movies all seem to poke out their heads 20 years later, saying, hey, remember me? For people like Lee and Sean, it's the human factor, the virtue of a personal touch, the feeling that digital reproductions just don't have. And I don't think we'll ever stop pursuing that.
This past weekend was the Holi Hindu Festival of Colors, marking the beginning of spring. Sarah Tiano was there to see friends and family paint each other with brightly colored powder, unifying the diverse crowd into one big family. Go to Neon Tommy for a list of future Holi festivals. That's it for today. We had help from Victor Figueroa and Rania Aniftos. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Holly Thompson is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Taylor Haney. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Maya Williams.